listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have John Rubino with us once again. He is the founder of the popular website, dollarcollapse.com. It's a website I strongly suggest you visit and visit every day because there's a lot of news, a lot of good articles written, some of them written by John, but a lot of other people as well. And it's, I think, a must visit website, one that I go to every day. John, thanks for joining us again.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for having me back on.
It's really good, to have you with us. I want to talk about this this idea of outside money trumping inside money. The idea that money can't just be created out of thin air, that it has to be something tangible beneath it. And we're sort of seeing that being introduced, that concept reintroduced perhaps to Americans. Certainly modern day Americans know nothing about money that had anything tangible attached to it, other than perhaps the American, the U.S. military, if you call that tangible. So the idea that, you know, was sort of introduced by Vladimir Putin, essentially, when he told unfriendly countries, if they want to buy his natural gas, they're going to have to pay for it in rubles, or they're going to have to, or gold. And so the notion now all of a sudden that countries, you know, you have to have natural gas, you have to have commodities, you have to have food, things, tangible things to live on. You can't just live on some sort of a notion that money is, when it has nothing real to it. So what are your thoughts about this? How do you think this thing about outside money, which is based commodity based money, really could sort of force the make believe money, the fiat money created out of thin air out? Might we really see a change in the global monetary system towards a commodity-based money?
Hey, Jay, yeah, it's completely possible that we're at the beginning of that process. So let me take a step back, though, to kind of set the stage.
Uh-huh.
Because for you know, as long as we've been alive, the U.S. has had the world's reserve currency. The dollar has been the most important kind of money that circulates in the world because you need it if you want to buy oil. You need it in your central bank reserves to back up your own currency. And that's starting to change now. And you kind of spelled out the mechanism by which it's changing because the U.S. has been using its extraordinary privilege of having the world's reserve currency as a weapon. And because of that, it's made the U.S. dollar no longer a neutral asset. When you use dollars out in the world, you benefit one country or several countries at the expense of a lot of other countries. Mm-hmm. And that's deeply annoying to a lot of the rest of the world. And apparently the U.S. doesn't realize that mm-hmm. it's cutting its own throat by weaponizing the dollar. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing the result of that lately with Russia and China and India, among others, cutting trade deals with each other in their own currencies. And now in the wake of the sanctions that flowed from the Russia-Ukraine war, Russia is doing it in a lot more explicit way, where, like you said, they're saying, yeah, you know, we've got all this gas and all this oil, but if you want it, you got to pay us rubles, which means the buyers of Russian natural gas, for instance, have to go out and get rubles from somewhere and then spend it on their energy purchases, and that pushes the foreign exchange rate of the ruble up. So all of a sudden, you know, the ruble tanked. There were all these jokes at the beginning of the war about the ruble is now rubble. But then Russia went to the their commodity based monetary policy here, and the ruble's back up. It's now a pretty strong currency based on its trading behavior, because people have to have rubles in order to buy natural gas. Mm-hmm. That's a lesson for a lot of the rest of the world who they're watching it with interest. You know, China has been accumulating gold for years now, with the idea at some point probably of backing their currency either explicitly or implicitly with gold. And over the last couple of years, they've been accumulating huge amounts of natural resources from around the world. So they're big buyers of a lot of different things that are now in shortage around the world, which means other things being equal, their currency is backed pretty well by stuff that everybody needs. So this is just the beginning of this process. It's got a lot further to go, but that we are starting in that direction is a huge deal, because there are probably 10 trillion too many US dollars in the world if the world is going to go to some kind of multipolar monetary system where commodities play a big role. And all of a sudden, what do we do with that $10 trillion out there? They'll probably come back home and will be used to buy U.S. assets, which will push prices up here and the value of the dollar down. So it's a really inflationary scenario if the world moves away from dollars. So it's an extremely big deal that we're seeing start here.
Yeah, and the countries that produce the things that the rest of the world needs, as you pointed out, for so many years, we created money out of nothing and used it to buy up the world's goods, lost our own manufacturing base, essentially, to a great extent anyway. So I wonder, it's not, I think with regard to the dollar, it's not just this supply chain issue that's related to the war and previous to that, COVID, but it's also a matter of the dollar itself being a weak, essentially, intrinsically a weak currency. Alistair MacLeod pointed out last week in his article that it isn't just the supply chain thing, but basically it's the destruction of money by applying Keynesian economic policy since 1971. The underlying move away from strictly fiat-based money to commodity-based money is not just this commodity issue shortage and supply chain issues, but also the fact that the U.S. dollar itself is suspect. It's heavily indebted. I mean, the United States economy, I think we're 130% U.S. budget, U.S. deficit. I think we're 130% of GDP. The debt, I should say, compared to less than 20% for Russia, for example. So do you see that as maybe something Americans aren't really recognizing, but Russia and China, our adversarial nations, are very much aware that, we're owing the rest of the world so much more than they owe us. You think they're not unaware of that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. People are painfully aware of that. I think for the longest time now, countries have been wanting to start this process, but they were afraid of what would happen, because we still have a lot of weapons with which to punish countries who step out of line monetarily. But now it's finally starting to happen. And you and I have been talking about this as an investment thesis for years.
Where
capital will start flowing out of financial assets like treasury bonds and cash and bank stocks and into commodities, into real things that governments can't just make more of out of thin air. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing that happen at an industrial level, where everybody's starting to stockpile nickel and copper and things like that, and at a national level, where central banks and governments are starting to think this way.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is a potentially a trend that has serious legs, because it's just getting started. So we could see like a 20-year process in which this shift over to real assets gathers steam, until that's just the natural way that currencies are backed. We maybe go back to a gold standard. Maybe we have some other kind of a standard relating to real stuff, like mm-hmm. Russia with its kind of an oil and gas based currency right now, right? Its value is derived from the fact that Russia has huge energy resources, and if you want those resources, you got to get rubles, and so in effect, their currency is backed by oil and gas. They're on an energy standard. And we could see variations of that spring up around the world as we kind of coalesce around one strategy or another. I think it'll probably be a global gold standard at some point. Mm-hmm. But along the way, other commodities are liable to play a big role in this process of definancialization and de-dollarization. And we're right at the beginning. Buy gold.
Yeah. I mean, so the title of our show, Markets to Own with Outside Money Trumping Inside Money. And so markets to own, if what the world needs, that's what you want to own. You want to own tangible assets, commodities, gold, silver, that sort of thing. If that those monetary monies become really used as money again. But I want to ask you, you know, there's a debate about interest rates, which way are they going to go? Lacey Hunt, for example, a wonderful interview that he did with Adam Taggart recently. I watched it and listened to it. It was very interesting. Lacey shows, you know, evidence and a lot of different academic studies that show that when you get as heavily indebted as the U.S. is, you cannot raise rates. Rates cannot go very high because of the debt. On the other hand, Alistair MacLeod steps outside of our experience and says, yes, actually the Fed and central banks have two choices. They can either defend the currency and let interest rates find their natural equilibrium, or they can try to keep interest rates low and print money as much as needed to keep them low, to suppress them, and destroy the currency. Now, in the real world that we're living in now, it seems as though Japan is in the process of practicing the latter alternative. They have said they're going to keep interest rates suppressed, and they're starting to print money, and the yen is seemingly going to hell in a handbasket. What are your thoughts about which way this might go, if you accept the idea that there just really are those two alternatives? Either you defend the currency, run your country into a heck of a depression, or you just keep printing and the currency disintegrates.
Well, you spelled out the dilemma very well there. The Fed is in a box with no real solution. They only have a choice of horrible crash on one side and accelerating, possibly hyperinflation, followed by a horrible crash on the other side. That's all they can work with right now. Mm-hmm. And which they choose is yet to be seen, because they're making noises like they think the current rate of inflation has to be brought down, and that no matter what else happens, they're going to get inflation back down to their 2% target, which means they've got to raise interest rates. They've got to shrink the Fed's balance sheet and tighten in whatever other way they can come up with to bring inflation back down. And that will blow up the leverage speculating community, which is basically everybody these days. You know, everybody who depends on borrowing money at low interest rates for their financial survival. So the system would break down if interest rates go up much higher. And Jay, you know, it's interesting. We might, because you and I have talked about what's the interest rate that blows up the system. You know, there's a number out there. Mm-hmm. Well, we might have seen that number last week when the 5-year Treasury note hit 3%. Because it was above the 10-year. So we had an inversion of that part of the yield curve and a nice round number of 3%. Now, since then, interest rates have been going back down. The economy has been weakening. The stock market has been tanking. Like today, the NASDAQ is down 3.7% and the Dow's down 728 points. You know, it's a really bad stock market day, which basically looks like a temper tantrum, a taper tantrum.
Yeah.
With the difference being that previous taper tantrums happened in a low inflation environment, and now we're in a high inflation environment. So they might not be able to stop in time to keep the stock market from really collapsing.
Well, maybe that's what has to happen in order to get things back in the track. And Lance Roberts, Adam Taggart interviews weekly, had a very interesting insight, I think, that I want to get your idea on it. Lance says, watch for financial instability. If the markets, if the banks start having trouble, you can bet your bottom dollar that the Fed will come to the rescue, because the Fed is owned by these large money center banks, essentially. They are there to protect the banks. So I guess a clue for people, if you want to really know when the Fed is going to go from QT to QE again, watch the banking system, right? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But here's where it gets interesting, because if they do that, if they capitulate and go back to easy money, while inflation is still 5, 6, 7, 10%, you know, whatever it's going to be at the time, that is a huge psychological change for everybody, because then we'll realize that it's over. You know, there will never be normal interest rates and a normal level of money growth again. We have no choice but easy money to the horizon. And then, you know, you think commodities are strong right now. wait till that happens, because everybody will be trying to get their hands on real stuff.
Right. Well, they'll blow up the system, and then they'll have to have a new system. And maybe, just maybe, we live within the four dimensions of time and space, and we come back to reality instead of this religious experience we've had with Lord Keynes, perhaps. John, we're going to have to leave it go at that. My engineer is telling me we're out of time. Sorry we shortchanged you on time today. We ran a little late on another interview. But we'll have you back again sometime soon, I'm sure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Great. Thanks, Jay.
All right, folks, that is it for this week. Next week, Bob Moriarty and Patrick Highsmith will be with me. Patrick will be here to talk about Timberland Resources, a company that's on to a very significant, I believe, Carlin-style gold discovery. Until then, till next Tuesday, goodbye and God's blessings to you.